And we are live.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with the countdown. Something.
It counted for a while, and then it just decided, like, that's enough.
Yeah, usually it's when it was... Oh, well. Here we are.
Hey!
F's in chat for irregular miniatures.
Yeah, this is like the set. This is like the first... We've done, like, angry episodes, kind of. We've done, like, goofy episodes. We've done creative episodes. We've never done a sad episode. So, it's time to get that one off the list. So, yeah. I guess as most people probably have seen by now, at least if you do historical gaming, certainly if you have ever ordered stuff from the UK before the year 2000, Irregular Miniatures is hanging it up. Basically retiring. It sounded like, from what I understood, it was always like a family business, and now like they're all getting old and some of them have passed away, and it's just not, sounded like the guy just don't want to keep doing it anymore. So he's packing it in. Everyone has until, well, it says March 25 is like the day he retires, but I don't know, like, if you're trying to get an order in, but you should probably do that like this month instead of waiting till March.
So, do it now. The link's down below. Just, there's no affiliates. Just order that up.
Yeah. We don't do
tell them that we sent you.
Yes.
And, you know, maybe give you free money or something.
But yeah, it's, it's kind of weird because, like, we talked about it last. Now I feel kind of like, oh, did we like, is this our fault? Because we talked about,
The announcement actually was a while ago, so we just, I never paid attention to the announcement.
Oh, okay. So that's right. But yeah, because like, I remember, like, literally as long as I can remember, there's always been Irregular Miniatures. Like, when I first got on the internet, there was Irregular Miniatures. So, and like, most of those ranges, they just kept making them. Like, I think all the same miniatures you could buy, like, 1998 on their website, you could still buy it today.
Yeah.
I remember, like,
if you want to build, like, a vintage army, then, you know, that was the source, because it was always vintage.
and like we talked about last time, they did a lot of stuff that other companies didn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was a lot of, you know, they just had a lot, and they're always reasonably priced. I think everyone would agree the sculpts were not, like, the sharpest thing in the world, but for a long time, like, where were you gonna get, like, 10mm something, or even a lot of 6mm they did before, and 2mm, that was basically just them, like, more or less.
Yeah, they had so many scales, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, like... And it always struck me as the kind of thing where they were very, like, old school, you know, they were just making stuff they thought was cool and putting out, and, like, I've ordered a couple of times, and it was always, like, you know, like, they were just friendly and good service, like, any questions I had, like, they were happy to answer with. So, yeah, it's, like, definitely kind of, like, that old school, like, kind of company. Unfortunately, I was looking on my shelves to see if I had something of theirs to show on, but I realized that the 2mm guys I had, I don't know where are anymore. So, yeah, Robert Dean says there. Remember when web browsers had frames? That was like a big deal. I will say, however, I have never, no matter how shitty my phone has been at any given time, I never had a phone that couldn't load up the Irregular website fresh and fast.
I know. The old internet was solid. It just was not pretty, but it worked. Usually.
Yeah, it was like peak GeoCities vibes. Like, if there was some flash HTML tags on there, or blink tags, that would be peak vibes. So, yeah, it's absolutely like, I think Robert Dean was, I think it was one who was mentioning in the, on the Discord that had a whole bunch of their old stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot when you look at any forum, like old TMP posts or Lead Adventure, like, you always see people who mention Irregular, you know. They were just one of those. I remember they had we talked about it last time, I think, they had this range that was called Really Useful Guns. It's just like random pieces of artillery. So they're always the sort of thing. I think they had like farm animals and stuff in some of the range. There's so much stuff. See, now I'm getting nostalgic for something I didn't even like own that much of.
Well, I placed my order in as soon as I found out last night.
So yeah,
I'm getting one last army deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to get, there was these, I'll have to see if they still exist. There were these, like, Space Marine soldiers in 15mm that I remember looking at when I was, like, literally 19 years old. So I'm going to see if they're still there and get, like, a pack of them.
I ordered up a fantasy warrior women army because I'm going out like a perv.
Yeah. So you got to get the...
There's not very many pictures of the miniatures, but they got pictures of those ladies, that's for sure.
Well, they also... So I will give them this. At a time when it was very rare to have photos of your minis on your website, they got some glorious, like, 240 resolution pictures up. Unfortunately, a lot of those figures suffer from, you always get this, where if you try to take photos of, like, 10mm figures up close, they look like shit. Even if the figures are nice and are painted nice, they just look like ass. And it didn't help with that grainy-ass old camera they used. So a lot of their stuff would have looked better showing in office in, like, army sets. But I get, you know, they're just trying to. Nobody else was doing it, so. Like, I have bought more miniatures sight unseen from a lot of other companies, and the results have not necessarily been any better. So, yeah, I guess exactly. what we're saying is Irregular was the working class miniatures company. And for that,
you always got your money's worth with amazingly fast shipping.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They just didn't fuck around, you know. Mm-hmm. You get what you get. It costs what it costs, and it arrives when it arrives, and all three are pretty okay.
Yeah, like I literally ordered last night, and then this morning, the guy's like, yeah, it's in the post. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it was just ready. So
he probably had to cast it, too.
I was about to say, I wonder how much of, if he's casting, like, all the way to the end, or...
Yeah, or just how that's going. They got. Yeah, I don't know.
So, because, yeah, I don't know if the place like that keeps a lot of stock sitting around, or... That's a question. But yeah. Irregular, man. It's one of those companies, too, where even though, because you can find people online bagging on, like, any minis company, but with Irregular, it's always like this, nobody bags, like, that hard, because, you know, it's just this kind of thing, like, yeah, they're a little grungy, or, like, they paint up well, but, you know, you got what you paid for.
I was with the 15s, though. I never had a bad 15.
Mm-hmm. Well, and,
like, maybe I missed that, like, actual detail of the 15.
You are 15? Breaking up like crazy.
Notice.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, so if you could repeat that bit.
Oh, I was saying I've never got a bad 15 from them.
That's fair.
15mm was always really nice.
Yeah. The 2mm was pretty mixed, but that was almost as much a problem as 2mm is just not viable without being very blobby. Like, it's really not, that wasn't any, but all the 2mm like buildings and little towns and stuff, they were awesome. So yeah.
I might be breaking up again. I keep seeing like little flashes of yellow. I don't know why.
It's okay now, but it's a little dodgy. That was always something.
Yeah, it was always something. But, I'm here for now, at least.
All right. Well, we were going to play a little game, which is going to be, we're going to talk about other miniatures companies who may or may not be around still. Hopefully, this is not like a cursed podcast and like all of these guys like go out of business this week.
Well, then we got to put the Games Workshop on there.
Yeah, well, that was specifically the one I wasn't. So now it's like a hit piece. It's like Death Note for nerds.
Yeah.
So what we did was we each wrote down 10 companies we have bought stuff from in the past. So we're going to just take turns and throw one out there and see what we've each bought from that company, if anything. And then I guess the game part is that if one of us mentions a company that's on the other person's list, then you don't get to say that when it's your turn. So you're one down. So we'll see who's like the most hipster, I guess. Who has
are we going to rock, paper, scissors?
Well, I don't know if there's any lag. So I just got to roll a die. This purple die. So call odds or evens?
Odds. Okay.
Well, it's a 9. So you go first.
Ooh. What was it? What dice was it? D10?
Yes.
Nice.
It's a Chinese, like, knockoff. Somebody was selling this, like, huge stack of definitely not ChessX dice from, like, nothing from China. And they're, like, they're actually really nice. They're, like, a tiny bit smaller and a little lighter, but, like, they're really nice dice. So I have, like, I don't know, probably, like, 200. They're probably made of lead or something.
Well, I mean, that's the quality right there.
Yeah, I haven't tasted them.
The best things in lead, like, you know, drinking cups and whatnot. You always want lead.
Yeah, add a little spice to that.
All right, so first on my list is probably the very first miniatures company I ever bought from, back in a mall somewhere, Raoul Partha.
Okay, I did not have that on my list, but I do not know if I have ever purchased and from, like, in pack a Raoul Partha miniature. I have had a bunch of them from, like, eBay lots and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So were they D&D characters?
Yeah, I just bought miniatures I thought were cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to do like a big eBay hunt for a long time to find my absolute like old school favorite miniature that I had lost along the way. But I mean, they're always like D&D characters from Malaprath.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
28 like, millimeter or 25 or something.
Yeah, they weren't really like, because when people said 28, now you think like, you know, chunky, like Warhammer dudes. They weren't really that chunky.
No,
I don't know if they were true 25s or what they were, but yeah, that's some old.
It varies. Like some are very small and some are very large. There was no real consistency with Raoul Partha. And then they also imported other miniatures. And then, so like, if the Raoul Partha imports were like just Citadel miniatures. So they were, of course, Warhammer scale.
Yeah, which back then was smaller anyway. Plus, you got like old like Grenadier and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So there was a ton of it. Yeah, like, I definitely remember like one of the local like toy shops had like behind the counter, they had like a bunch. They must have been Raoul Partha, but I'm not actually sure. But they were, again, just sort of generic fantasy like D&D minis. And yeah, like the scales didn't match. Some of them were like tiny and skinny, some were big chunks.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool. So that is definitely like peak old school. And as the first edition Advanced Dungeons and Dragons says, you have to use authentic, officially licensed Raoul Partha miniatures. Yes. Because they had probably paid TSR like a pretty penny to be the official. Yeah. But like nobody gave a shit about that.
Yeah, you don't use Citadel miniatures.
Oh, God, no. That is dreadful. Get that Grenadier shit out of here. Now, can you still find any Raoul Partha stuff out there? Or is that like...
Oh, yeah. Raoul Partha and Raoul Partha Europe are still two functional companies that I don't know
if they're the same company
or they're separate companies.
Do they still sell any of the old figures, though?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Oh, not all of them, though. Like, the one I had to search for, they didn't sell, but there's other ones in my collection. They've been around forever, so.
Oh, it's
a mixed bag, really.
So, sometimes, literally, if you're getting them on eBay. I feel like the proper way of getting them now is, like, just get some shit off eBay and see what you get. Lead rock and everything. Like, you know. Yeah. Jank. The jank factor is high with Raoul Partha. But at the time, like, they had such a huge range of characters that it was hard to find, like, other companies that had, like, as much stuff for them. And they definitely had, like, character to them.
Yeah, no, I love the Raoul Partha still, even if they're not always in scale with all the other miniatures.
It's, or themselves, for that matter.
Yeah. Let's see. Raoul Partha started in 75, bought my first in 76. I bought mine in, like, I don't know, 90.
Yeah, yeah. That just shows how long they were just defining, like, fantasy minis.
Yeah.
I think the Battle System books, that was mostly Raoul Partha figures in them.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah, I think so. So
they definitely have vibes. So I'm sure you can totally war game with them.
Let's see. Raoul Partha Legacy had a lot of old molds.
Oh, good.
Okay. Less than I'll the AD&D range.
Yeah, I'll have to go look at that and see if I recognize some old figures. So my first pick is not really like a rarity at all, and that is Old Glory.
Oh, I don't have that on my list.
All right. Well, then we're technically even here. Now, I will admit,
I have bought from them, though. Yeah.
The only Old Glory I have actually purchased is from the Command Decision range.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is one of those ranges. My personal theory is that they run the molds until they wear out, and then they redo them. Because what I've noticed buying quite a few bags, because everyone, if you're starting any World War II army, just get a couple of bags of Command Decision guys. You get like 50 riflemen to just bulk out your forces.
Yeah.
Don't buy like support weapons because you're going to get 50 like BAR gunners or something. You don't need that.
Unless you got friends who also need exactly those miniatures.
Yeah. Like how you can literally have a lifetime supply of bazooka guys from one bag. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed was that if you buy a bag that is something people don't buy that much, like the Soviet infantry I bought was really good, very crisp, very sharp. Mm-hmm. And then like the German World War II guys just looked completely awful. Like they were just like grimy, no detail. But I've seen bags of sharp looking Germans. So I'm guessing when the mold wears out, they redo it from their masters or something. That's my theory.
I had some French and some Italians, and they were all very crisp. And then I had a pack of like two Challenger tanks. And those guys are weapons on their own right. They're pretty heavy. But they are beautiful. They fit together really nicely, too. I was surprised for metal.
I think M113s, like the APCs, they were pretty nice. Although nowadays, I don't know that it would buy metal like vehicles, but yeah. you could knock a guy out with one of those. They are pretty hefty.
Yeah, 15.
But yeah, I don't know that they are... or have ever been like the best for 15 millimeter figures, but you get a lot for the money and they are very cheap. And if you actually build with them, like seriously. I think they still have that like army membership where you pay like some amount and you get like 40% off or something insane.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are just grinding out like big historical armies with like, you know, it's hard to beat Old Glory. So
yeah, yeah.
Also, the one time I met them at a convention, they were like recently nice. So I don't want to like, you know, they were cool.
Grandpa Robert Dean has a story as well.
Yeah.
Old Glory started when he started attending Historicon about 1988 with bags of 15mm American Civil War figures.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that's one thing I've never wanted to collect.
I've thought about it occasionally. There was one guy that was going to do it with me, but then we both got distracted. So it never happened. Oh, yeah. But yeah, they're one of those companies where if you do historicals, certainly, you could kind of just buy it from that one company. Because they've been around forever. They do a bunch of stuff. They do big-ass bags, and it's really cheap. So, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I have some NVA, like, too, I think. Yeah, yeah. North Vietnamese.
Yeah, I think they have. And they have some, like, Middle Eastern, like, generic, like, basically, like, generic Middle Eastern dudes with, like, Soviet kit you could get.
Okay, yeah.
So, they had a bunch, yeah. So, yeah. Thumbs up to Old Glory. A little jank. Good value. And I don't remember if I've ever ordered in the mail, actually. I think I've got them at cons, so okay. I assume their service is probably good.
Yeah, hard to say. I got them from the LGS, so.
So, yeah, so it's, like, hard to say, but yeah, a little jank, great value.
Mm-hmm. But right, next on my list.
Do consider buying something that is a little obscure.
Yes.
All right, what do you got?
Don't go for the common ones. Okay, my next on my list is related to the first one, Iron Wind Metals, which took over a lot of the Ral Partha licensing.
Mm-hmm.
But Ral Partha is still around, so I'm not sure exactly how that all worked. They did end like up with the Battle Tech. Yeah.
It's like a divorce where, you know, you got to go to your dad's place every other weekend.
Yeah. And I bought a lot of the Battle Tech miniatures, and I came to really hate their multi-part metal. That's when I just kind of gave up.
Yeah, it's hard to. I've definitely bought a bunch, although I don't have any of them anymore. It was one. BattleTech has always been one of those things I like would buy into and then trade on and buy into and trade on because, like, it's not such a big investment to do.
Yeah,
you get five guys, you know. So yeah, Iron Wind has definitely been holding up the banner for like a long time.
And if you go for older sculpts, usually they're pretty good. There's like a period of time, probably between like 2010 and 2022 or something like that, where it's like a lot of multi-part metal, they might not fit together very well.
Oh, it's kind of
frustrating.
Yeah.
And then I think after CGL became involved with them again, their sculpts improved. That's what I've heard at least, but I haven't bought. So
the stuff I've seen, like pictures of, have looked really good. But I don't know if they are super reasoned or like kind of reasoned. But yeah, I've definitely like heard of some grungy ones. The ones I had were quite old, so they were like very simple. But they were
You know, I love those.
They were quite good. So yeah, thumbs up for Iron Wind. Not well, depending, maybe a little jank in the middle, but it depends on what you're getting.
And if you know BattleTech, then you know it's supposed to be jank half the time anyway.
Well, yeah, like some of the.
This is my weird skinny legged egg shaped weird thing with a missile on top.
Yeah, there's a lot of mechs that are like not real aesthetic. I hate to say, but yeah, and like price wise, they've always been like okay.
Not pretty pricey, but not the worst.
It's one of those where because you don't need very many, they can technically be a little more expensive, which is fine. Like they have to make their, you know, make a living out of it. So yeah, price is okay, and jankiness is mostly okay.
Yeah, mostly so, okay.
Shout out to Iron Wind. Well, I'm going to shout out one that I think is generally pretty well liked, which is Peter Pig in the UK.
Oh, I don't have that on my list.
Oh, not a I don't think they were the first historical minis I bought. Well, they weren't because the first were 172s. But it was the first 15s I ever bought. And for a long time, almost the only thing I bought was Peter Pick. And I know people make fun of them because like all of their dudes have the Jay Leno face with their mouth open. However, at a time when 50mm was still not always that detailed, sometimes they would look a little shit. Peter Pig was like a notch above in the sculpting. They're kind of on the smaller side of 15s nowadays. I don't think that was the case at the time, but they're like less chunky than like Battlefront. They're not as tall as like Kurosan are now. And stuff like that. So they're kind of like an older style of 15s, although they fit okay. I would mix Battlefront and Peter Pig with no problem. But yeah, they're a little skinnier. But I like that you got, because I've always been a skirmish game, I always wanted to have like a lot of variety. So, and like the most of the time, the basic rifleman packs have like three poses and then an officer. So you just got like a lot of variety. I did like World War One, Russian Civil War, like a bunch of stuff. So yeah, I have a phenomenal amount of love for Peter Pig.
And they're the only company I know of that have like a female Russian sniper of World War II.
I'm sure.
And 15 millimeter.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say Beth Squiddo definitely does, but she only does 28s. Yeah, and like I think one of the only like extensive Russian Civil War ranges, one of the most extensive World War One ranges. Lots of World War II stuff, a bunch of other stuff that they don't do as much of. But yeah, they have like what they do extremely well. I will shill for them like literally unpaid, which makes it not shilling. So, but yes,
we should be shillers.
Yes,
we could be.
I guess they were always a slight bit more expensive than other 15s, but not by like a massive amount. Nowadays, it's all the stuff is approaching like a dollar per 50 millimeter figure. It's bananas. Mm-hmm. But
except for regular, they still had good prices.
Yeah, yeah. That's what killed him.
Yeah, that's what killed him.
But yeah, so Peter Pig, really awesome. Definitely always a good choice. Nowadays, with shipping from the UK, still a good choice, but you can get them from, I think, Brookhurst in California.
Mm.
Though sometimes it can be a little hit and miss with what they have in stock, but it's just whatever it is. But yeah, so big thumbs up. Of course,
shipping from UK to Canada is still great. So if you're Canadian, no fears.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we should all be Canadian.
Well, maybe someday.
So yeah, Peter Pig, not jank at all, and okay price, not cheap but okay.
All right, my next one is a deceased company, Grenadier, which we talked about.
Yes, I was so close to putting them on my list because I do have some Grenadier guys out there because some other company owns a bunch of it now. I think
so. Yeah, their stock definitely got spread around a bit.
Yeah,
and still some of the best miniatures I feel overall for that era hold of chunkiness. Yeah,
they hold up phenomenally well. I feel like they are as good or sometimes better than like same era like Games Workshop.
I think they have the best dwarves. Honestly, they're my favorite dwarves. And the plastic you can get from EM4. That's so you can get like the plastic dwarves.
Oh yeah,
orcs probably some of the Grenadier if they love. And Dean was saying, will they ship direct? At one point, I think their arrangement with Brookhurst granted the latter exclusive U.S. rights.
I want to say I have ordered directly from Peter Pig to the U.S., but I don't remember.
That's
now, I will say Brookhurst is generally pretty nice to deal with, but yeah, it's worth a shot at least. And yes, Milton was where I bought a bunch of Grenadier figures from. I was trying to get something that was intentionally old school, and yeah, they hold up like amazingly well. I think Grenadier was like decidedly a cut above, like in their peak. So yeah, but I also feel like a lot of their stuff was really more Wargamer oriented, where Ralph Arthur was kind of more in the RPG. Maybe I'm wrong about that, and I'm just remembering selectively. But I feel like they did more like units of troops and like spearmen and stuff like that.
Okay, I don't think I've actually bought Grenadier new, only used. Well, yeah, I guess technically they're new if you count EM4, but
oh yeah, yeah, yeah. So yeah, Grenadier, that is definitely old school, not jank in the slightest. And they were reasonably priced when I got some from Milton on eBay. It's like 10 cents per figure or $100 per figure. It just depends.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember I could see blister packs for Grenadier too, I think, in like the same time that I would buy the Ralph Partha. I just don't know if I ever actually picked any up in the past.
You may have, and I forgot about it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to stick with the 15s and the Brits and say QRF, Quick Reaction Force.
Nice. I don't have that one.
Surly old dude. They mostly do. They do some World War II. I think it's mostly Cold War guys. They are kind of the definition of like workhorse miniatures, but in like a good way. Like all of the infantry packs is just like eight guys like walking with rifles. They basically only do one pose. Okay. It's very rare you get, like, kneeling or aiming or anything like that. Maybe a couple of shooting guys, but, like, their poses are very kind of standard. The detail is okay. They're pretty good, but they're not hyper sharp, like super sharp minis. The price is good, and they have a lot of stuff. If you want to do anything Cold War in 15th, QRF is basically the first place to go, because odds are they have it. Like, if you need, like, West Germans for the Cold War, that's the only... When I was doing some Cold War Danes, that's the only place I could find somebody that worked, because they did West Germans. So, with helmets and G3 rifles and that stuff. So, yeah. QRF, really solid. Lots of stuff. And, yeah, the guy's kind of surly, but he's also, like... I've always had, like, excellent service from them. They're pretty good about answering questions and stuff like that. So he can be surly. I think he was one of the people who, like, flamed out on the miniatures page and got banned from there.
So, oh, yeah, yeah. Because I remember... Whoa. That was violent. Oh,
yeah. Got a little blip there.
Yeah, it just, like, immediately booted you.
I was going to say, I think he got banned from the miniatures page because I remember, like, ordering some stuff from him and putting in the, like, comments of the order, like, fuck Bill from TMP. So, those were the days.
Unofficial show model.
So, but yeah, QRF, not actually jank and very reasonably priced. So, follow your 15mm Cold War needs. They do World War II as well and a few other things. The only thing I will say, they do have an ancient, like, World War I range, but it's 1,000 years old, and those miniatures, I don't think they even remember that they own them. They're not good. So skip that. Get Peter Pick for that. But QRF for all of your Cold War needs. Back to you. Nice.
Robert Dean said that they used Grenadier for many of their D&D characters in 76, 77. Okay. So, yeah, there's a good chance I did buy some Grenadier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I may be remembering.
It's too long ago.
Yeah, I may be definitely just remembering them selectively, then.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least when you got into wargaming, they were more known for their big packs, or that's just what you paid attention to.
It could have been, yeah.
Hard to say. All right, my next one is, they're definitely not around anymore, but their product still is. Angel Bears.
Ah, friend of the show.
That's so, right.
Yeah, they were cool. Did they go to Brigade, I think? Or where did they go?
CP Miniatures, but I think they renamed their company because calling yourself CP doesn't help.
In today's day and age, Fed posting, that's not so good. All right, so to clarify,
it is the only way to get an official me miniature, so you got to go through them.
Yeah,
my little 6mm dude.
Because he was one of the, I remember he was like very determined because very few people made sci-fi character types or character models in 6mm, and he had like a whole little like setting that the whole thing went with. So they were cool. I had a bunch. I do not remember if the ones I had were ones he had sent me or if they were ones I'd purchased, but I had a bunch of like the little characters and stuff, and I did base them individually for skirmishing, like like they were intended to. The original version of Clash of the Fringe was all Angel Baron stuff, so, which people whine about endlessly because 6mm figures don't photograph very well. But
well, that's bad. I think that's why I bought Clash on the Fringe, honestly.
Yeah.
Just because they had Angel Barracks.
Yeah. No, they were great figures. You can still get a bunch of them. And yeah, they have a lot of character. I think a problem with 6mm is a lot of times they don't tend to have a lot of character to them. They tend to just be kind of guys with guns.
Yeah.
So, and he put a phenomenal amount of like work and effort into those little guys. So, they're also like sturdy. They were not. You can get a lot of 6mm that have like spindly angles and will break off. Mm-hmm. These guys were like little chunks.
They were chunks.
So, I remember.
But they were. You could tell what they were. So, you know, that's the best part.
I remember learning a hard lesson with basing, with like stuff on the base. You couldn't put all that much like gravel stuff on there because the little dudes would just like disappear in the piles. So. But yes, Angel Barracks, not at all jank, and I think we're pretty reasonably priced. There's no, other than GHQ, there's no expensive 6mm.
Yeah. I think they're, at the new site that they're on, they're like a little bit pricey, but not crazy.
Yeah, but also, if you're using them for like what they're intended for, you're only buying like a couple of packs anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I'm just going to say a quick hello to Gamers of the Coffee. We're waxing nostalgic about miniatures. Yeah. Feel free to join.
Yeah. All right,
and we're going to go on to Ivan's. Okay, let's see if we're going to cross one off the list finally.
Yeah, well, I'm realizing how many 15mm companies this is on here, so that's kind of telling. I should have shaken up a little bit. But I'm just going to say, this is probably the biggest one I have on here, and that is Battlefront. Because we all love some Flames of War packs.
Yeah, and I do not have that on my list, so.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case. Yeah, well, people, it's funny because people have backed on Battlefront for as long as Battlefront has been around. But I will say, I will go to the wire that their figures have generally been quite good. I like the sort of comic book chunky look they have to the infantry figures. They paint up. They're like the definition of painting up well, because they just look so characterful and colorful. And the fact that they sell platoon packs is really nice. Like, I remember when I was getting a guy into playing, I don't remember if it was Chain of Command or if it was Troops, Weapons, and Tactics, but it was literally just buy one pack and then buy like two bags of Peter Pig to get like a Vickers gun or something. A couple of bazookas or something. And that was it. That was all you needed. Base those dudes. And they're like nice to skirmish with because they're like little fat chunky minis that you can pick them up easy. And yeah, I definitely love Battlefront.
Yeah, they're perfect for contrast style paints. It goes fast.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just slather that stuff on there.
Yeah, because they have enough detail where you can pop the highlights and the depths, you know, just enough.
Oh, okay.
It's perfect.
Which is not always the case for 15s.
No.
Plus, they have, I mean, now they also have like the Vietnam and Cold War stuff, and they have a bunch of. A little bit of World War One, like they've covered a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
and they're coming back with World War One at a future date. Right now, they're working their way through early war. So if you love French tanks, then now is the time.
Yeah, get in before the tanks do. I guess.
Yep.
Who doesn't love World War One French armor?
Oh yeah. Well, for World War Two in this case, so the early stuff like.
Okay. Well, those are cool too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the French. Yeah, the World War One was better. Those are the tanks. That's a real tank.
Yes.
It looks like a ship with a cannon on tracks.
Yeah. If it can go past 8 miles an hour, I don't want it.
Yeah, exactly. But if the engine is not exposed in the center, then how can we even fix it on the fly?
Exactly. But yes, Battlefront, not at all jank, and actually really good quality, or really good value for much of the time. Plus, they have a lot of starter sets, so it was a pretty... There were various ways of getting, like, a bunch of stuff. The funny thing was, because all the sets were, of course, intended for Flames of War, so if you played anything that didn't require that many minis, they were, like, insanely good value, because it was so fast to build, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Build on the force. So, back to you.
And if you buy the packs of Battlefront minis, especially the metal ones, typically you'd have, like, a bunch of extras that you couldn't even use in the basing for their game, so... You know, you could still play their game, plus have enough extra just to run your own, like, little skirmish game. So it's pretty great.
Yeah. Plus, you could easily use those Flames of War stamps for something else if you really wanted to. Like, they're perfectly fine for Crossfire or Spearhead or something.
My next one is Ground Zero Games.
Hey! Finally, one that's on those.
Crossed off list. Yeah, they got it all. They got 25s, they got 15s, they got 6s, and they got 2.
And three.
Or is it just three?
Threes, I think. And also, the 25s are true 25, which is a fucking rarity. We were talking about that on Discord earlier.
Yep.
There are very few true 25 sci-fi movies. And I always wanted a couple of platoons of them. But now that, you know, we're looking at moving in the next year or two, I definitely can't, like, pile more shit up. So I hope he keeps them around until afterwards. But yes. For so long, he was basically the face of 50mm sci-fi, you know.
Yeah.
If you didn't want to hunt for, like, old-ass laser-burn minis that were, at the time, not really in print, like, they are now. But yeah, tons of ranges. Also has the same QRF issue where there's very little variety in the poses. You kind of get, like, 8 guys or 10 guys just, like, holding rifles, but they make up for it by having so many different kinds of infantry. Lots of vehicles. I remember lusting over a lot of those, like, crap walkers that he was doing for a while. So, hover cars, hover tanks. Though I never, I don't know, I'm against hover tanks anyway, but I don't think the ones he did, I wish they just looked a little different. They looked kind of like, what do you call them, like bumper cars?
Yeah, yeah.
So, but they do have a lot of cool vehicles as well. And a lot of his ranges were redone at various points. So, if you've seen, like, really old figures... Some of them just have not much better versions.
And I'm most familiar.
Honestly,
I was never dissatisfied. Sculpts definitely were showing their age.
Yeah, but they're also very early 6mm. So
yeah,
I think for their time, they were like pretty okay. Because the only comparison really was like Games Workshop Epic.
I just mean like by the time I bought them, like in the mid 2010s, so maybe like 10 years ago, like you could see a lot of mold slippage, especially in the back of the vehicles, which wasn't so bad. You know, it gets the job done, and the prices were still good.
Yeah, the prices are great. Service is fantastic. And John has always been like really cool with answering emails. Like I remember one of my earliest memories actually was very shortly after I got into 15 millimeter. I ordered some stuff and I think I had like missed something in the pack. So I wrote him an email and said, oh, I also meant to get this. So he sorted out. And then he was like, oh, did you have any other questions? And I was like, yeah, how do you make miniatures? And he wrote back this long explanation of like the sculpting process and how it goes in the molds and how it all works. And like, so yeah, John has always been like cool as shit. So he's a good guy. Great value, a tiny bit jank or not really jank, depending on what you pick.
I love the infantry still. 6mm infantry. I think it's still some of the best for a variety of sci-fi.
Yeah, they have a lot. The 15s are generally from pretty good to great, depending on the exact range. Even the old ones are still pretty good. The true 25s I've only seen in photos, and they have a lot of charm and love, but they do have a little bit of like old Dragon magazine jank look to them. But yeah, much love there. Well, I will go straight into the sci-fi or continue on the sci-fi then and say... Okay. Darkest Star.
I don't got that one.
Yeah, well, they're not super common. They mostly do sci-fi in 15mm. I think they might have some sixes as well. I've only ever bought 15s.
I remember seeing them in six.
They do have a range I keep meaning to buy from, which are like knockoff Ghost in the Shell minis.
Ooh, nice.
Including some definitely not Tachikomas. But yeah, so they have a collection of pretty decent vehicles. They have some infantry. And they're both decently cheap and pretty nice. The only downside is he's very keen on them being like true scale. So like gun barrels and the tanks are very spindly. If you are not lazy, they are worth like replacing with something. But if you are lazy, they're okay. You just have to. You have those.
Bend them a lot.
Yeah, and they will always look like shit because you can never get them to be exactly equal or even. I remember painting up some troop transports and then sending the photo to him just to show that I had painted them. And he was like, one, can I put them on the website? And two, why did you assemble them backwards? I was like, oh, that's an exit hatch. They're like assault transports. So other than if you're not impossibly stupid like I am, Darkest Star is pretty okay. But yeah, it's one of those, like, I'm pretty sure it's like a one man affair, just one guy running it. But he has some, most of his stuff is like pretty, like, they fit well aesthetically with like Ground Zero Games kind of stuff. And they're also in those dimensions and stuff. So if that's what you're looking for in 15s for sci-fi and you're looking for just a little more variety, give them a look. They're also stateside. So we're kind of like swinging back here.
Yeah. So good for some and not so good for others.
Yeah.
And this is the first time Robert Dean has ever heard of Darkest Star. So you stumped him.
Holy shit. I feel like that's a bonus point. I should get an extra point at the end there.
Yeah. So. All right. Next one is also now deceased, though some of their products actually live on in, like, not as they were, but. The like spiritual successors, if you will. The Rackham. I always loved Rackham, and those guys are chunky.
They were legendary at their time. I remember they were like such a cut above a lot of what was available in the market.
I would say that some of the sculpts were not attractive, but they were always really well done.
They were a little bit because they kind of came out of like the they were coming out when like Games Workshop were slowly moving away from like character minis who stood like this with their swords. So you could sometimes get some vibes for Rackham vibes that were like it kind of had a foot in both camps and newer, more like realistic sculpting and the older, more goofy style. But yeah, very well done. I remember they were like kind of legendary on like some of the forums I was on at the time. But they were also hard to get. If like a lot of times you couldn't get them in a lot of gaming stores.
Yeah, I kind of suspect maybe that's because you're in the States.
Yeah.
Too. Because I definitely, yeah, I'd see them in a few different game stores, even throughout Canada. So,
Yeah.
They're a French company, so I think maybe it just was a little bit easier to trade back.
It might have been, yeah. Or they just gave some, sent some solidarity packs to the Quebecers.
That's so right.
But yeah, I don't know that I've ever owned a Rack and Mini, but I definitely remember like gazing at the online and the magazines and stuff. So, and they have
that's
like,
kind of funny how they managed to do themselves in, unfortunately. Yeah. With
yeah, it was one of those where it was like an era where companies were trying a bunch of stuff because everyone was trying to like figure out what the next like big advance was, and some of those just didn't pay off. So, but yeah. Definitely, like, that's a true, like, F's in chat for that one. I don't remember them, from what I've seen online, I don't remember them being particularly cheap, but they were definitely, like, high quality in terms of, like, sculpting and stuff.
I think they're comparable to Warhammer overall.
Yeah.
So if you're willing to pay Warhammer prices, then you could probably pay Rackham prices.
Yeah. And sometimes they would look nicer.
Oh, yeah.
So. But, yeah, no jank at all. Moving on to another that has no jank at all. It is, of course, Curasan Miniatures. Also a U.S. I think it's out of New York or something. Does some historicals. Actually, a pretty decent amount of historicals now. Mostly associated with science fiction. And a very vast amount of sci-fi minis. Lots of weird ones. He's one of the few companies who actually will do sci-fi minis that not give a shit about whether they look like Warhammer guys or something that exists in the game. So if you're needing some shark men with laser guns, Curasan will hook you up. Very high quality of sculpting. I don't think I've ever purchased anything from there that was not like very sharp and clean. Prices are fine. I feel like they're on the expensive end of 15s, but they are still 15. He does have a chunk of vehicles, but it's not really his like his main forte. You probably want to get those from like Brigade or something else instead. But yeah, if you want to do like a space opera, like sci-fi thing, you can populate with a lot of characters. He also has like, I know he has like some knockoff Star Wars minis that are like hidden away on the website and he won't post pictures of them. And like, they're like, well, they're like super, super skulky. But yeah, also he's like the surliest dude ever. Like it used to be on the website, it was like, it takes like 16 years to ship the minis. I can't guarantee they'll be there any sooner. And then they show up 4 days later. Like,
yeah.
So yeah, he's just like, but you know, if I had to put up with a bunch of dudes emailing me stupid questions about how you make miniatures, I would probably be surly as shit too. So. However, never had an issue with customer service. Always got my stuff. Decent price, decently fast shipping, and yeah, really good quality. The one downside is they're tall as shit. And people keep saying that it depends on the range, and maybe it does, but I have literally never bought any that were not like 18 millimeter height, but 15 millimeter for like bulk. So they don't fit with anything. You just gotta, I guess with the sci-fi guys, it doesn't matter, but like I bought some like Cold War Soviets, and they were great minis, but they were useless unless you only buy Curasan. Because they're just so tall. His 15 millimeter is tall as shit as well. They're like a full head taller than like Peter Pig minis. So, and unfortunately, that range, I don't think he's ever going to finish because I don't think they sold very well, unfortunately. So, but yeah, for sci-fi, absolutely go all out. For historicals, make sure it fits what you're going to use it with or just see if you can rely on only him. And then, but otherwise, yeah, good shit.
He demands your complete loyalty.
That is true.
All right. The next one on my list is Scotia Grendel.
All right. That is old school. They've been around.
Yeah. Yeah. They ended up with the Void range, the Urban Mammoth.
Yes.
And they had their own miniatures as well. Their 6mm stuff is pretty old and janky, but all the Void miniatures. Well, I guess you could say it's kind of janky too, but in a good way.
They are old. Yeah,
they got a vibe.
Yeah, they definitely do. I remember they stood out at the time because it was when Games Workshop was starting to put more shit on their minis, more belts and pouches and packs and chains. And the Void guys very like clean and like slim, kind of slimmed down. In fact, they almost looked like under equipped, like their Marines and stuff were just wearing like t-shirts and boots, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Some guys are very bare.
Yeah, but they had a very clean style. They had the, what was it called, Coralon, the aliens. They were cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the big problem with the Void, I think I've said it before, is that we tried to get into it, and then we realized we didn't like any of the factions.
Yeah.
But the minis were pretty nice quality. The 6mm original stuff was definitely... They were pretty rough, like, at the time. And we're talking early 6mm sci-fi, so they're a little grimy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But...
Yeah, I have a few non-Void miniatures from Scotia Grendel. I didn't really order any of the 6mm because I looked on the website and it doesn't seem... Basically, you could get it from Ground Zero Games as a better product, it looked like.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, I got, like, some, like, random vehicles and things, and the resin casting was really nice. Just, they were good quality overall.
All right. So, yeah.
So not the cheapest, not the best, but if you want a certain vibe, especially if you want to go Void Urban Mammoth... Oh, wait, I think they lost that now. I think they kind of moved on to a different scene.
Yeah, it might
yeah at the time tomorrow. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah.
But yeah.
Good minis.
Void were, yeah, that was a vibe. That was a vibe. What was it? I-Core that had it before?
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Well, we'll swing back to the Yanks and say Rebel Minis. Another that mostly does 15mm sci-fi. A little more modern feeling. They're a little chunkier and stockier. Decent height. They feel like they're basically just modern 15mm. So I think they are probably a little... They would feel chunky compared to, like, old-school Ground Zero games.
Okay.
But probably fit okay with some of the newer ranges. Decent amount of... They have a lot of different types on there. Very nice quality, good price. They're just overall, like, an excellent pick. I would say probably... Well, it depends on what you're looking for. I would say if you were starting and you wanted to build some armies, Rebel is also a pretty good pick. If you want to, like, have one company that does most of your troops, then you pick up some few things here and there to, like, flesh it out, right?
Okay, yeah.
So, like, you can do that with Kurosan as well. Rebel will be a little shorter, a little, maybe even a little stockier. They're kind of like, they're not as chunky as Battlefront, but they're kind of that vibe.
Okay.
So, and again, you have the same sort of thing where you mostly just get, like, guy advancing with rifle kind of poses, but that's, it's worth shouting out when you don't get that, because... Yeah. It's so rare. Nobody does, like, kneeling and shooting dudes in 15s. Like, the 172 scale plastic guys always put one dude in the box that's, like, kneeling in, like, an awkward, uncomfortable pose, but at least he's kneeling. But, yeah, you just don't get them in the middle. But yeah,
the,
well
worth. Do they also do, like, the 2-hour war games minis?
They did. I don't know what the actual relationship is, who owns what, because I feel like any website you go to, they are selling 2-hour war games stuff. Rebel Minis does, like, Bed Bath & Beyond probably does. Like, you can go to Whole Foods, they probably have some 2-hour war game books there, so.
Yeah, but they had, like, specific minis for the games, too, right? Like, for all things zombie and stuff, they had, like, a modern kind of zombie range. Okay, they did. So I have looked at that before.
Yeah, so they're definitely willing to, like, work with and with people and stuff. I think they got showcased a lot in, like, Grunts as well. I feel like they were involved with that, but I don't know if that was official or if that was just... Because for a while, they were kind of like, if you were a U.S. side, you would buy Rebel instead of GCG.
Okay.
But yeah, so still a good option, still well worth the go.
Okay. My next one is also gone, but not unavailable. Hey. The PFC CNC. Which is almost predominantly all 6mm.
Yeah, and,
yeah. They had some modern, mostly, well, like, modern 6mm vehicles, lots of World War II, and then some like, really cool sci-fi.
Oh, 6mm. Okay. Yeah, I've seen them, like, on websites, people recommending them and stuff, but I have never right seen here. Them in person. Oh,
you can't see it much because it's prime back. It's a little,
It's a little
missile turret. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, like, because 6mm sci-fi, like, was always very, like, niche and obscure, but there were also a lot of companies that were making it. They were just kind of, like, scattered out, and you had to kind of, like, take your chances a little bit.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was hard to get, like, one consolidated product somewhere.
Yeah, and they didn't necessarily, like, you know, fit that well together. It's 6mm, so you just kind of, like, go with it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, at 6mm, they all... Especially if it's sci-fi, then it kind of works.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they've moved on to... The guy stopped, like, in regular miniatures. He decided he's getting too old. He doesn't want to do this anymore. So his entire, like, business just moved on to Legions for Hire. Ivy, and they're in Canada, so they're still all available.
Oh, okay. So you can still get some old school. I'm like getting such a strong urge for like a vintage 6mm sci-fi army.
You once ruled the realms with dice and a sword, painted goblins till tea, then your minis were stored. You grew up, got a job, bought a flat, wore a tie, swapped dragons for deadlines, your brushes went dry. Now the dishes are done and the kids are in bed. You climb to the attic to raise the undead. Crack open the paints that you swore you'd outgrown. The smell of acrylic, it feels like your home. There's grey in your beard, even more on your head, but you're splashing some colour on plastic and lead. So welcome back, General. What took you so long? Your hobby's still here. It's the place you belong. The Bedroom Battlefields Tabletop Miniature Hobby Podcast. Find it at bedroombattlefields.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, yeah, I think you'd be surprised by the PFC ones because they're surprisingly modern looking.
Yeah, I remember them being viewed as kind of like a premium option in terms of quality at the time. So they were certainly, I think, were always considered like sharper than Scotia Grundle.
Yeah, yeah, super sharp.
Which, again, that's one of the things you get figures from back then that were so far ahead that by now, when like you get these laser sharp like sculpts, they can still hold up pretty well just because they were like a cut above at the time. You know, it's like the old Games Workshop, like Epic Minis. They were, the plastic can be a little soft in the detail, but because they were so good at the time, they are still pretty competitive now, just in terms of like the look and the castings and stuff.
Yeah, there's some fun ones in there.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. Well, my next one then I think is actually Australian. That is Eureka.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're one of those companies that like, I'm not even sure if they have like what ranges they do, where they do like everything, because they have like a bunch of stuff that they just do a couple of packs for. So like they have some random like World War One minis. They have a couple of like present day / Cold War packs. They have just a bunch of different random stuff. What they all have in common is the sculpts are like amazing, like just super super sharp. Good variety in poses, good kind of anime. One of the things that's really attractive with them is they tend to have a bit more animation to some of their, it varies by the packs a little bit, but yeah, just like fantastic. Again, I've mostly bought 15s. The 15s they have are definitely on the back on the smaller side. You're
okay
matching up with like Peter Pig or QRF very well. But I remember specifically buying Kurasan and Eureka to go in a project and they were just completely incompatible. Like the AK rifles on the Kurasan minis were like the size of the other guys. It was bananas. So again, you're gonna have to pick like one or the other. Do you want to blow up the deal? Yeah. Says Eureka was in the business of sculpting to order, which is why they have a bunch of random stuff. That makes a monstrous amount of sense, because I know they have like packs of random like artillery crews, but no guns for them and stuff like that. So I guess then like what you see on the website, a lot of that is just stuff somebody had ordered 5 packs of at one point, and then they've just been selling it ever since. One thing I got a lot of joy out of was a pack of, I think they're modern day Australian infantry, because they look very kind of futuristic and sci-fi. They have like really cool rifles, and they make great like low mid-tech like sci-fi troopers.
And I'm always happy to see, you know, like another army represented that isn't the big four.
a little more variety to it, and you know. Plus, they do have, if you're stateside, they do have a Eureka USA, I think. You can order stuff from there. Which also, I think, retails a couple of others. Like, I think they sell AB miniatures and a few other things.
Okay, yeah, nice.
I can never remember if the 20mm World War II stuff I bought is Eureka, or if it's actually AB and just, like, sold through Eureka. But, yeah, absolutely fantastic figures, but very random. More historical than sci-fi, but they do have a few things in there. I think they have those, like, sci-fi, like, German stormtroopers that, if you want to play Jinro Wolf Brigade or Killzone, I guess, in 15mm, you can totally do that.
All right. My next one is long gone, but not forgotten amongst anyone who loves Old Hammer. It's the Marauder. I love Marauder. Marauder always had the best sculpts for Warhammer.
They were extremely competitive. I remember, like, old... I feel like I always remember them for High Elves, but they did a bunch of stuff. Like, the old Warhammer army books in the back. And I remember, like, being puzzled by it. Like, they would list Marauder miniatures because,
you know. Why are they different?
But, yeah, they had some fantastic stuff. Definitely in the same vibe as, like, old Warhammer minis. Like, they fit in, like, very well. Obviously, they were probably required to for their license. But, see, yeah, you get a lot of the same, you know, kind of, like, stiff poses and heroes with their arms up and all that stuff. But, yeah.
But there was imagined to, like, inject a little more personality into everything, I felt.
Yeah, I think at various times, Marauder was maybe a little ahead, certainly on some packs and some ranges. Like, I feel like their elves were better than Gears Workshops, but...
Yeah, not too much to say about them. I just really, like, I'm always happy to have Marauder.
So, I wonder if they ended up or if they're a lot.
I believe that they were eventually folded into Games Workshop again. Like, some for some reason, they were separate, and then Games Workshop bought them, and then their ranges just kind of, like, dissipated into Games Workshop, and the sculptors just, you know, floated away, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And probably none of that can be... I remember for a long time, I don't know when they stopped doing this, but they had the... This was back when you had the order form and the codes that you had. And if you had the codes for basically any miniature they had ever made, as long as they still had the molds, they would cast them for you. So you would write to get order like old Rogue Trader figures, and they would be cast up brand new and crispy. But at some point, of course, they stopped doing that. I think they just stored a bunch of molds and stuff, so, which is too bad. I guess it would be like an entire warehouse to, like, store all that shit.
Yeah, most likely. I always liked the pre-slotter. It always had a bad rap, but, you know, the old pre-slotter, I always felt. They had some really cool sculpts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is... super vintage for old Hammer minis.
Oh yeah,
when the slaughter base is like the brand new tech.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm down to my last one then. This is kind of kind of a. I have looked this up many times. I can never remember the answer, but there is another Old Glory, a different one.
Oh yeah, yeah, Old Glory 15s.
Yes, and I guess as you can tell from the name, they sell 15 millimeter. But Old Glory, the other one, also says 15, sells 15 millimeter. So who the fuck even knows? Yeah. What I do know is that Old Glory 15 sells like 12 different ranges of historical minis for a bunch of periods. And I forget what project I was wondering about doing. So I wrote them and asked how all of those ranges compared. It might even have been for like American Civil War or something. And they wrote me back and said that there was only like one of the ranges that were good and we should just buy that one. Which is astonishingly honest, but I don't know if that's how you like sell your product. The only thing I have bought from them though, because they started, I don't know if they've expanded at all, but they started a small 1914 range with only German and British figures left. But they were really, really quite nice. And I don't remember if there's any kneeling guys, but there are dudes like reloading and stuff. So they put a little more thought into it. Good quality sculpts. Again, smaller size, kind of that Peter Pig like vibe. They would fit very well with. I think they're a little chunkier, but not by much. But yeah, for historicals, and as the name implies, 15s, they had a lot. Their thing is really like 19th century, I think. So if that's your vibe and that's what you want to do, they are definitely worth looking out. Very reasonably priced. Actually, they were quite cheap when I bought mine. So they're, and like I said, just have a look, I guess, because some of their figures are shit, according to them. But you know,
just write them first and ask. Huh?
Yeah, just make sure. Am I buying some fucking garbage or am I getting the good shit? Like, hook me up. although I think they do have photos of like a bunch of stuff. So yeah. But the stuff that is under their own name, is, what I think it might be is that over the years, they may have picked up different ranges just to keep them in production. So I think some of those are based on older figures and probably just being kept around so that people who had them can still get some packs. That's complete speculation, but that's like the vibe I got out of it. I think for their stuff that is under their own name, I think it's generally, from what I've seen, like pretty good quality. So I think that's just... The nature of the beast. That does exhaust my list. So if you have one left, you win.
Yeah, that's right. I have Catalyst Games Labs or Game Labs or Catalyst Games Lab. I'm not really sure. One of them is plural, and I don't think the other one is.
That may be the biggest company that has been on the list.
Yeah, it's they exploded in a very short period of time.
Yeah, and I keep waiting for them to like overextend themselves, then they just keep making more stuff. So apparently yeah, they're invincible. So
yeah, they kind of, there's always complaints, but they're like production schedules all the time, and sometimes they don't have products available because all their manufacturing is in China. But
yeah, like, and they still run keep into floating. Like Kickstarter issues and stuff, but yeah, they solve all of them in like an amount of time that is short enough that nerds will get over themselves and order more stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing that they just completed the Kickstarter for Mercenaries, and I think I did my live stream like 2 years ago when I got mine.
Yeah.
And I sold everything already.
Some of those, like, some of those have been pretty brutal. And that's a problem with like miniatures, because you can get into that spot where you are too successful for like bargain like casting, but you're not successful enough that a Chinese like toy factory or whatever is going to put your order first.
Yeah.
Because you need like 1,000 dudes, and you know, Mattel needs 10 trillion like Barbie faces or something.
Yeah, exactly. Barbie always wins.
Yes. So you can kind of like get shuffled infinitely, even without it being your fault at all. I don't know if they are like poorly organized or if they're actually doing great and just really unlucky or what it is. Like, they've definitely had a lot of delays and issues getting stock to stores. But those are all issues of like being successful.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. I think they're kind of like the French in World War II, where they, every time they go in to the next Kickstarter, they're thinking about the last war.
Yeah, so
prepared for that last war, but the new war is like way beyond their scope.
Yeah, but they have also like a ton of stuff in plastic now, more plastic BattleTech than I think we've ever had. Because it used to basically just be like what came in the starter set. That was the only thing you
get. Yeah, exactly.
You couldn't, most of the time you couldn't buy those separately anyway. So now there's tons more starter sets. And they've done the, like, they did the Gothic one recently. And what was the other one they did?
So Scouring Sands. That's the solo one.
Oh, yeah, Lynn Vander
Studio.
And they've brought back, you know, I don't know if it's everything, but, like, almost everything I can think of, you know.
Amazingly, they don't have everything out of TRO 3025 yet. There's a couple things missing, which I would have thought they would have, like, completed a long time ago. But I think there's, like, 3MX that's still are unaccounted for.
Yeah, they must have like this master list of every fucking mech that has been put in a book somewhere.
Yeah. And it might, like, just be people too, like, haha, you old nerds, you thought you're gonna get everything.
But we gotta do almost everything. I mean, especially once you get all the variations and stuff. Yeah. But it's also one of those things where, like, you can, because BattleTech players will buy like fucking anything, like, you have the same mech that you own 12 different versions of already, and they put out one with the machine guns on the right instead of the left, and everyone like runs out and buys another one. So, because you don't need that many, which is like, that's the worst, because you can look at like a Warhammer army and say, okay, I can't afford to play Warhammer because I need to buy 300 dudes.
Yeah.
But with BattleTech, it fakes you, because
the game, you only need four guys, but you want 300.
Yes, you're going to be buying more than the Warhammer guy, but you could have stopped like 296 guys ago, because nobody who's normal plays more than one lance anyway. So, I mean, Alpha Strike is doing really well, and that's like, I've seen a lot of people who, like, I don't think it was intended to, because Alpha Strike was supposed to be like large armies, but I've seen a lot of people who basically play normal BattleTech, but with Alpha Strike rules, so they still only have like maybe 8 mechs per side or something.
Yeah.
And kind of just play it as like baby's first BattleTech.
Honestly, or just a lunchtime game, because you can just rip through it and be all done.
Yeah. You can just get it. And it gives you like, it's like 90% of the BattleTech vibe, but with like 60% of the work, right? And for most people, the last 10% doesn't matter.
Yeah. I don't know if Alpha Strike is just not as successful as BattleTech overall, though, because they always focus on BattleTech. And like Alpha Strike is always like second for them.
My gut feeling is that BattleTech has all of the name recognition. But I also think, my gut feeling is, there are people who play Alpha Strike and BattleTech, but there are not many people who only play Alpha Strike. Like, whereas with BattleTech, there's a lot of people who only play BattleTech. I also think there's a lot of people who play BattleTech in the same way that I exercise every day.
Yes,
which is to say that they think about BattleTech every day, but they last play the game in 1999, and they just keep buying Maxim books.
Yeah. And for a short time you can still play exactly that same game that you played in 1999.
I mean, it barely changed at all. Like, there's one or two little things you have to remember, and that's it. So it has this, longevity. And I think
apparently it's going to have a big revision. So I think it'll be interesting to see what they change and if it messes everything up.
Everyone will get mad. That was a daunting proposition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the other thing, I think. If you spend all the time to learn how to play Battletech, I think a lot of those people are, you put in the work so you can play the game. So playing Alpha Strike might feel like it's a step down, because you kind of have to learn a new rule set to play. Not that much stuff carries over. You need different unit whatever they're called, profiles and stuff. So, but I definitely, somebody said in the chat that Alpha Strike is nice with just a few mechs. I absolutely agree. That's a great way of playing. Like I said, it's 60, maybe 50% of the work, and you get 90% of the vibe. And for most players, 90% is more than plenty.
And then Robert Dean saying that he's more into 25mm fantasy than 15mm sci-fi. He's attached to two companies whose minis can still be found from old molds, Minifigs and Heritage.
Heritage is some serious retro. Minifigs was...
And if you want miniatures that only have one pose, you want Minifigs.
Oh, yeah. I remember buying, because they had a brief... I'm mixing up with a different company. But yeah, they were absolutely like... bag of dudes all standing in the same way.
And giant 15mm World War One. I was very surprised.
That is true. And there weren't that many World War One rings at the time. So the one I was thinking of, I think they were called, what were they called? Game Fix or something? GFI? Does that ring a bell? They were a US company. Kinda. They did World War One and a few other things.
Robert Dean will know.
Yeah. They very briefly tried doing 12mm World War Two. Before that was ever a thing. Definitely ahead of their time. I think they're long gone. I remember buying some, because I was going to play 1919, Russian Revolution. So I bought some Russians who were absolutely in one pose, a different bag of Russian in fur hats and coats, which were all in one pose. But the three command figures in the bag were not in winter gear. They were the same as from the other Russian pack. And then there was a bag of American World War One Americans, which somehow had eight different poses and were done really well. I used those figures for years. I think they were actually the first 15s I bought. Come to think of it, I might have lied before. I only ever had those three bags, but I remember calling the guy on the telephone and. And he took an hour to just chat about miniatures. I remember he was shitting on Peter Pig for being too expensive. So he was a hustler, but the guy just picked up the phone and started asking a bunch of questions about the figure ranges and stuff. He was happy to chat. So, but not around anymore. I'm trying to remember. Like I said, he made a big deal of doing a 12mm World War II range when that was not a thing at all. I'll have to look them up. They were definitely a U.S. company.
You were into that for a while, right?
Yeah, well, still technically. But the problem is, Victrix does 12mm plastics, and they are fantastic. But they're basically just 10s. Perfectly with Pendragon. So I think they just called it 12 to look distinct. I haven't compared vehicles, so maybe there's a difference in the tanks. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the Victrix stuff is... Okay, so here's the bonus question for the last 10 minutes we got. If you were gonna build a collection entirely from one manufacturer, who do you pick? You can pick a couple of different for one for sci-fi, one for some historical thing, but you can only buy from one company.
Now remember, regular miniatures is gone now, so you can't choose them.
Yeah. Well,
otherwise that would have been the choice.
Yeah. You can hustle up and. But you better buy everything you want. Let's make it no fucking around. You can only pick one. So you got to pick one that does different things if you want different things.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of tough outside of Games Workshop these days. Who really is omnipresent?
Yeah. So.
And then, of course, It's, I mean, you're not going to get World War II out of Games Workshop, that's for sure.
No, that's the thing. Victrix is, the funny thing is their ranges are not, they have a lot of like Dark Age and early medieval that are just fantastic looking minis, and then they do 12 millimeter World War II. So yep. If you want to settle in and just say, okay, I do like Dark Age skirmish and World War II sim mass battle, then yes, Victrix would be a really appealing option. Google suggests they were wrapped up with a minifig somehow. I think, because I distinctly remember the Tactics. Name minifigs being tied to them. So maybe the two were connected in some way. Yeah,
I feel like I've seen game figs and minifigs in the same location in the store before, like intermixed. Yeah,
that's what. So I wonder if, it was connected somehow. Or, I mean, there's so many of these, you know, one guy takes over a different range or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And I just want to say I love the name Atactics. That's pretty great.
Oh, that's a fantastic name. But like Kurasan, if you play one of the historical periods he does cover, like I think he does a bunch of like Crusade stuff and a bunch of other stuff, and then you get tons of sci-fi, but I don't think he does World War II. So who does?
I don't spend a lot of time thinking about Warlord, but I think they are pretty versatile overall.
They obviously they
could
do,
be a
like,
contender.
World War II, they obviously do...
Napoleonics?
Yeah. Do they have their own?
Tons of historicals, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to do like a pretty wide range of historical stuff, that definitely got you covered. But it's an easier question for historicals, because then you can just pick like Old Glory or something. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of companies you can... Or Peter Pick has. But if you also want to do some sci-fi, that narrows it. Like, you're kind of going to have to compromise on one of the two.
Yeah. And depending on what licenses Warlord has that may or may not have sci-fi.
Yeah, that's kind of common. And like their sci-fi game, that's all dead, right? Like Gates of Antares or whatever.
You have any of the 2000 AD licenses anymore.
Yeah, did they not also have Doctor Who for a while? I'm mixing that up with somebody else.
Pretty sure they did at one point, yeah.
Yeah, that's like come and gone and come and gone. So, you end up like, I don't even know. I guess Kurasan, more for the sci-fi. If you do a little historicals on the side, that's probably the best bet. Otherwise, I mean, you could just take some World War II guys and give them purple helmets, and then that's your sci-fi army. Kind of do like a Buck Rogers kind of vibe. You know, it's not the worst option.
No.
All right, so the last question then, because that was really short. You get to bring back one Minis company.
I guess I'd bring back, look at my list. Let's bring back Grenadier. They deserve it.
Yeah.
Bring them back to swing.
Because then we would get new Grenadier stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like, who is the most likely to be able to like continue doing like new cool stuff, like an evolution of? Yeah, because we've seen like, Games Workshop like evolve over whatever, 30 years. We've seen other companies evolve over, So what would like, with modern technology and techniques and stuff, what would Grenadier look like? Or would they just look like Warcraft dudes, like everything else? Would they have held the style? Or would they have, like...
Versailles? Or would it be, like, five pieces for each leg?
Yeah, like, anything is possible. Honestly, and it's not even that they were that good, but it would be the Fassa Vor into the Maelstrom range. Okay, I know people have tried to resurrect, mostly because they could have benefited greatly from like another go and some cleaner sculpts. But they did have like a ton of characters to them. It's like the old, with like Mutant Chronicles and Warzone, we got to see those figures be a lot of them got updated over the years and got newer versions. Robert Dean is banging the drum for Heritage. Strong argument though. Fantasy, sci-fi, ancient Napoleonic Civil War, and World War II. That is like, if you go to any like war games forum, that's like the six categories for like things that people give a shit about. Then you have to like click around for like the three guys talking about like Dark Age gaming and the Franco-Prussian War. But that's just really strong. Yeah. See, having fantasy and sci-fi in there, that would make it, because that's the thing that with a lot of others, like you can do all of the historical periods with like Peter Pig or something, or Bacchus and 6mm, but you just don't get the sci-fi, or you don't get very much of it.
Yeah.
So now if you're fast with the regular, I'm gonna look up real quick what those fucking sci-fi meant were. Any closing thoughts while I'm wasting everyone's time?
My thoughts are, I know that eventually 3D printing is going to replace everything that we love.
Yes.
You know, like all this, like all the janky little miniatures. I mean, you really could just do it on 3D printing too if you wanted. All these little companies, like regular, are probably all just going to disappear eventually.
At some point, yeah. It's one of those where, like, because for a long time with 3D printing, it was like 3D printers were a little too shit for, like, average people to put up with. It was kind of like an entire, the joke was, like, 3D printing is like a separate hobby, so that that hobby is to get it to work so that you can make miniatures for your first hobby. But that's like barely the case anymore. Like, they're better than ever, they're easier to use than ever. Like, and the second element of that is, of course, like the 3D sculpting getting easier and more accessible, which, and it's always this thing, right? Like, when it becomes easier and more accessible, that gets a lot more people in. You kind of get a flood of stuff, and like a lot of those won't make it, but they will also like wipe out a significant portion of existing stuff. Minipods is saying Curasend, which I agree, for a one-stop shop, that's probably one of the better. Again, to pick Curasend, you kind of have to be more sci-fi than historical. But if that's your thing, I think they do a little thing, then yeah, you are kind of in the right. Like, you could get by very well. Just okay, they were called Sci-Fi Star Marines. They're still on the website.
Nice.
Yes. And they are the grungiest minis in the universe, but I have literally looked at them for like 20 years, so I'm gonna buy like a couple of bags of those to get them.
All right, let's see, that's a regular.
Yes, irregular miniatures, a 15 millimeter Star Marine.
I know I've looked at them like a million times, but I'll see them again. I'd pull them up on the screen if I was more savvy, but I'm not
gonna. You're gonna have to just imagine it. Everyone is like,
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah, stovepipe kind of aesthetics.
Yeah, just like super grungy and chunky, but yeah, like, they're gonna be gone. So yeah, you gotta have
exactly.
To...
You gotta get them.
44.
Can you get an army deal? Oh, you could get an army deal.
Oh,
you should just get yourself a 100-piece army for 35-20 Great British pounds.
All right, yeah, that's, and they have a space goat man, so who does not need a space goat man?
Oh, yeah, because they need to fight somebody, so they got to fight the space goat man.
Oh,
they got cool shades and everything.
Yeah, that's some premium stuff. See, that's the thing, that makes you want to wonder, like, oh, if you could go back in time, just buy irregular miniatures for like everything. Like, if there's a war they didn't do minis for, it's not a war you need to be painting or need to be playing. Like, just get in there.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's so sad, but with 3D printing, I mean, it's just, I guess it's going to cover everything. There's a guy, Knucklebone Miniatures. He like sculpts the miniatures with VR.
Wow.
So they're all 3D printed, but they're still like hand sculpted to a degree.
That's crazy.
So I mean, you could just do everything on 3D printing. You don't even need sculptors sculpting anything.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like on one hand, it'll get, like, I've been able to find like printed stuff that, you know, vehicle, especially for like random vehicles that nobody makes, because you're not going to sell that many of them. You know, that can be fantastic. I bought some 3D printed like buildings that were really cool and were like extremely affordable, even paying for somebody to print them and, you know, for me. So, because I don't get enough stuff where it's worth like paying, and especially the space that would print it up. So I'm fine like finding some dude who will print and like who will do all the stuff for me, and I can buy them like real minis. I do wonder though too, to what extent, if printed minis will have the same like nostalgic value, will anybody give a shit in 20 years? Like, will you have like favorite minis you have nostalgic memories about, and, you know, that you really value that were printed, or will it be
that
like,
one file you lost?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I don't want to be like super, super groggy and down on it, but at the same time, I just don't know if people give a shit about that stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. So maybe
I like the idea of like 3D printed terrain, but I've never been big on 3D printed miniatures. I have some and they're good.
I have some too.
I don't know what it is.
Skis did some really lovely minis and sent them to me. They were nice. And I do value them a lot, but I kind of value them because, like, he made them. Like, I know the guy who made them. Like, I've known him for years. If they were the same minis from some different dude, I think, like, I could see buying them because I needed some space guys and, you know, they were kind of cool looking. But, yeah, I don't know.
I guess, like, that's where it comes back to, like, full circle then. We cared about these miniatures because we had stories, you know. We coveted them in magazines or we talked to the guy on the phone for an hour for some reason.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we know the 3D printer. Fox has his Kickstarter coming out for 3D terrain. So when I look at that terrain, I can think, well, that's Fox made that. When you look at the miniatures that Skis made, like, these are Skis' miniature. They have personality ingrained. But yeah, just like some rando you downloaded.
Yeah, it's just
maybe not so much. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Maybe it's the same thing. I mean, we brought, there's plenty of minis that have just like rotted away and like disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to blow up Dean's
comment? There. One. Let's see here.
I suspect people who paint them will have nostalgia for what they painted, but not necessarily for the rest of their lives. Yeah, I mean, that's another thing, you know, and there's definitely like stuff that, you know, if you pulled up some old minis, but you'd never owned them, you didn't paint them, maybe you don't give that much of a shit. Yeah, I mean, anything you've worked on, you get the investment from just like putting in the work and sitting with your hands and stuff. So now if they figure out a way of fucking doing that in like VR as well, the printer can like paint it for you, then I'm just like becoming a board gamer. It's like, fuck it.
Yeah, like, that's right. It'll probably happen.
Miniatures gaming was a mistake. Oh, they'll just play in VR. You can always do that with like tabletop simulator.
Yeah, it's true. They do have a VR painting simulator, I think.
Yeah, I mean,
so you can paint your minis in VR and get all dizzy and have to take off your headset after a while. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's like simulating the experience of painting with that enamel paint. So you just get fucking sick.
Yeah, that's nostalgic.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. You know, it's the same thing too. Like at some point, like because you know, we got to the point where people started using digital sculpting techniques for real minis. So you had this like huge jump up in like much cleaner lines, much sharper looking minis, more accurate castings and stuff like that. And you had the same sort of thing where people were talking about like, oh, you know, do they have the character of like the old janky, like soft line hand sculpts, and, you know. So there's also some of that. Like, it's always good to, but you know, you can also just stockpile a bunch of old shit and then combine this. You have the best of both worlds.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think I would feel more overall optimistic if so much of the, especially for sci-fi, so much of the printed stuff and the STLs is not just like Warhammer shit. Like, like I was looking for, when I was buying those ruined buildings, I forget if it was on Etsy I got them or it might have been. But I was looking for, because I looked for like 15 millimeter buildings or something like that, 20 millimeter buildings. And so fucking many of them were like festooned with like skulls and eagle icons and stuff. And they were, you know, complete knockoffs, but there was just that look. And it was so hard to escape. I had to like specifically search for like World War II stuff. And even then, some of it was still like pretty, they didn't have that many skulls in their walls. And like,
not that many.
So there was more like less stuff that was just more fucking Space Marines and variant Imperial Guard dudes. I would definitely feel more positive, but maybe that's also just like the, when the barrier of entry drops so more people can make stuff, like 90% of what gets made will be like derivative garbage. But maybe it's worth it because the other 10% will be like cool, amazing stuff we wouldn't have gotten before, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So
sometimes it tells me my connection is lost, but then I can still see you talking. I'm like, if I talk, am I going to mess it all up?
Your face like freezes occasionally, but the sound didn't, so...
Yeah. Well, I just like stood still. I'm like, I'm not going to jinx it.
I just like sit the camera.
Yeah. Is he frozen or is he just looking at me weird?
Speaking of Warhammer knockoffs, these Star Marines have a medic priest, which sounds like something else. So maybe they were doing it first. That's another thing that Irregular got there before everyone else did.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess they do look a little Warhammery. They have kind of like big shoulder armor and stuff.
Yeah, so, their scum are probably inspired by some sort of hive-like thing.
Yeah, they could look a little.
They are like cool, everything though.
Like everything else, Irregular did get there first. We can just pack it up.
The vehicles are really cool looking.
Yeah, actually, surprisingly, for the age, because those vehicles were also on the website like 1999 when I first started looking. There were so many things, because, you know, I grew up in Denmark. So, and if you didn't have a credit card, you couldn't really order from the UK. Like, there was just not an option to do that. So, so many things you would, like, see and then just not be able to get. I remember, I've mentioned this before with, like, war game rules, but I've done it with miniatures, too, where I would go to, like, the local store with, like, a list written down and ask them. And for each of them, they were, like, either they had no idea what it was or, no, our distributor doesn't carry that. Because if it wasn't like Battlestar Warhammer, Target Games for Warzone, or a few other things, I just couldn't get it. Like I remember they had to like special order a copy of Axis and Allies. Wow. Yeah, that's one of those things, you know, when you get older, you can order stuff online, you're a little better off, but that was just not an option. So a lot of these, like the Scotia Grendel was one of those too, where for a long time, I didn't even know what they looked like. They didn't have photos of the websites, and people weren't really posting photos on forums and stuff. If the forum even supported it, was not so easy. So
you had to go to, what was that hosting site?
Photo Bucket, back in the day. Or is that newer?
Yeah, I think Photo Bucket. Yeah, so you have to link to your
And then like inevitably that wouldn't work, or so you just get like broken links everywhere.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, it was just such a... I remember I actually had a very short-lived blog I did. This was way back in the day when after 3rd edition 40K had come out, where I was going to review like sets of figures. And I remember reviewing, I think, 3. It was like the Tactical Space Marine box that came with 3rd edition, which was the first new multi-pose box. The Dark Eldar 1 infantry box. And I think like the original Landspeeder. Those were the 3 I reviewed. Then I stopped because I didn't want to buy every box that came out. but like, I remember it very fondly because I had put together the reviews and I'd done a really good job, I thought. And one of them, some prick on like fucking GeoCities or whatever posted that this review was a waste of time. I was like, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah, fuck you.
So. But yes, those were the times.
I'm going to say a quick hello to Lord Draconum, and we are wrapping up. So I will say goodbye to Lord Draconum.
sort of arrived right at the end, but there was a lot of good stuff. So definitely click the little button to scroll back through and have a go. Have a look.
Yeah, and then order some irregular miniatures before they're out of
business. Yeah, go get some fucking Star Marines.
Yeah. Actually, they're not 100% out of business because they're still doing like 10... And
yeah, I don't know if that's like a friend of the family or he sold those bits or something.
Yeah. It's on the website. It says like new 6mm. So I don't even know what the new 6mm is. But
yeah, I think redone some ranges. So maybe that's just because they have 6mm old and 6mm new.
Yeah.
They definitely look the same, I will say. That is some grungy ass little dudes.
It's a trap.
Yeah. Yeah, those are very irregular looking, but you still get some cheap goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go get some stuff and buy some Star Marines. Let's like get a run on Star Marine minis.
Why are Star Marines so popular?
They haven't sold any of these like 30 years, and suddenly it's sold like 1,000 of them. You just need 10 army packs. You can do buy 2 of the army packs and then do red versus blue. Like the cartoon or whatever it was called.
Ah, new website run by the successor. Same minis.
Okay, so some of it is getting transferred to a new owner, and some of it, I guess. So I guess anything that's beyond like the 2s and 6s and so on is just gonna kind of like get retired and like go.
Mm-hmm. So, it's got to be moving on to somebody. Someone's gonna take it up. So
yeah. Well, who else? The 6mm World War One Belgians.
Exactly.
Which I don't know if anyone does. Yeah, they are some mighty little blobs. But you can recognize the hats. That's honestly, I think that's kind of what counts.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, everyone. We're going to wrap up.
All right.
See ya.
Peace.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Night-night.
This episode of Bad Internet Friends was streamed live on YouTube and Twitch. There is a North American-friendly live stream every second Wednesday of the month and a European-friendly live stream every fourth Monday of the month.